Hello and welcome to your 2025 month by month forecast. This is going to help you plan your year ahead of time so you know what the celestial weather is way ahead of the curve. And it's really important to look at this. So I want to make sure that you take your time with it, drink it in, grab a cup of tea. Or maybe some popcorn, because it's going to be a very dramatic year. And you can come back to this. You can come back before every month. I actually recommend that you do come back to it if you're planning something or if you are wanting to know what the month is going to be like before I put out my forecast on YouTube. You can come here or you can look at your celestial guide. This is here to help you know the celestial weather because knowledge is power. Well, without further ado, let's go through every month. And if you want to stop and take notes, refer to your celestial guide, or just stop and come back to this, take your time with it. It's a lot to take in and it's here for you as long as you need it. Okay, let's do this. Welcome to your 2025 illuminated month by month forecast. As a reminder, this is your sacred time. Please turn off distractions. There's a lot to cover with this, a lot of nuances. Every month has so many comings and goings, so you don't need to be coming and going. You just find yourself a lovely place to enjoy this. And then when you don't have time, just come back to it. And here you're going to learn the best timing for all of your activities. And we're going to cover astrology, numerology, tarot, the magic trinity, all the things. About me, you know me, hopefully by now. I'm Carrie Samuels, your intuitive counselor and happiness coach. And you've heard me say that on many, many videos. I love integrating astrology, numerology, and tarot. I think they're beautiful divinatory arts and sciences that are incredibly synchronistic. And you'll see the synchronicity every month with all of these. It's pretty incredible. And I love empowering you to connect with the divine and to know that there's so much more to life than what you see with your physical eyes. A reminder that celestial forces never make you do things. This is a weather forecast, a celestial energy weather forecast. Astrology doesn't happen to you. You have free will. They're here to help you. They're divinatory tools that can help you make empowering decisions. Just like you know weather to help you plan, this is knowing the celestial weather to help you plan. You have free will and you have power. Just a reminder, and I went over this in the overview in divination, every planet in our solar system will be retrograde in 2025, every single one. The personal planets, the social planets, and the outer planets, which means everything is being reevaluated, reoriented, reimagined, re-envisioned every aspect of our lives. So get ready for that. And I'm going to help you get ready for that. Another reminder, all planets are changing signs. Well, Pluto is not. Pluto changed signs November, but pretty much when a planet is changing sign, it's going to be in the final karmic degree, the 29th degree, which is a completion and mastery degree. It's the culmination of that sign's energies and lessons. And so you're going to get a test. The universe is testing us. And then in the beginning, it's like that raw energy coming in like a force. So there's a sense of urgency and intensity with the planets, comings and goings. There's karmic lessons that need to be resolved, unfinished business from the past. So that's what happens with the 29 degrees. As a planet's changing signs, it has to be in that 29th degree. And then the 0 degree brings those new karmic lessons and intensity. Let's begin with January. Because this is a 9 universal year, the universal months will be the same as the universal, the month itself. So January is a 1 month in general, like January is 1. It's actually also a 1 universal month. So that's the way it's going to be all year. That's just the way 9 works. Let's look at the tarot with that. The Wheel of Fortune and the Magician. Beginnings and endings. The wheel is like, what was up is down. What was down was up. And it seems like luck, but it's really karmic, fate, destiny, and beginnings. And the Magician is reminding you that you have the power to co-create. The Magician is reaching up toward the heavens to receive divine inspiration, like the number one itself is that divining rod. And it's up to you to use all the tools in your alchemical tool belt to listen to inspiration, to listen to your divine messages. And that's how we begin. The lunar nodes of destiny on the very first day of the year. The lunar nodes of destiny are at 0 degrees. The North Node of Destiny at 0 degrees Aries. This is such a magical way to begin, so symbolic that it is at the very, 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 very start of the creation point of the entire zodiac wheel. That says everything about your power, about the power of your creation this year. If you have the drive and the belief in yourself to go for your dreams. Fortune favors the brave. And speaking of brave, Mars is a big planet this year, the entire year. Mars begins the year retrograde in Leo, so it's still very fiery. And retrograde meaning it's retracing, going back to rekindle your passions, rekindle your sense of Leo-ness. How do you shine in the world? How do you allow yourself to put yourself first? You're reclaiming those parts of yourself. You're reclaiming your energy, your drive. You're reclaiming your passions. And yet, since Mars is retrograde, you may not feel the energy to do that. Retrograde is a more of an internal process. So just know you're starting off the year a little bit like you're getting ideas, you're getting inspiration, you're getting ideas of what you want to do moving forward, but you may not have the energy or the momentum to fulfill them. So don't beat up on yourself. Don't start the year like, I'm going to make all my New Year's resolutions. No, it's a time to redream, revision, rekindle, but not necessarily to like take on the world right away, because Mars retrograde is still about that, like having it more of an internal thing. On the 2nd of January, Mars is opposing Pluto. This is a very powerful connection. I mean, these are two brute forces going head to head. A lot of violence comes with this as well. So, like, there's still going to be some anger at the very top of the year. It's an angry year, I must say. But it's also a year of marshaling your power and marshaling your drive and marshaling your passion. So with that comes all the things. And I just want you to be mindful that it's an argumentative energy. So I don't want you to like get in a fight with someone and be like, oh no, my year is just going to be, no, you don't need to. You can just know, okay, I'm going to be very emotional. It's a very kind of combustive energy. My Mars is retrograde. So I just want to like take my energy and pour it into my passions. That's a very good way to channel this Mars energy. January 6th, Mars retrogrades back into Cancer, where it's in its fall. So Mars does great in Leo because it's like fire, fire, fire. Mars in Cancer is a little watered down. So again, you're not going to have that drive for like doing everything. This is more like, you know what? I just really feel like staying home. This is where my passion is. Maybe I could learn how to bake sourdough bread again. So it's more of like passions go into like more internal things and nurturing and love and family. It is also associated with patriotism. So there's definitely going to be a rise in that kind of patriotism, defending the homeland. Again, we may see some violence around that. So be mindful of all this. This is the whole like year is going to be a lot of that. It's like the world is going to be very combative and you are maybe going to balance that energy by being more nurturing and connecting with loved ones. That's pretty much the theme of the year. And that's how we start out with it. Then on January 11th, the nodes of destiny, remember we're just talking about the nodes, they go from an 18-month journey where they've been in Aries and Libra, teaching you about balance in relationships and not being codependent. Again, Aries, standing up for yourself and that kind of thing. Well, the nodes are shifting into Pisces North Node and Virgo South Node. I said in the overview and divination, we may see some health issues come up around this time. We may see a resurgence of bird flu, respiratory stuff, because the South Node in Virgo is about health. And that's what we're like moving away from. So it's like we're the health and hygiene. There's just some going to be some things that may come up. Also, there may be some things, Piscean things. There could be anything related to you getting new visions for your future, you having new inspiration about what you want to do. So this is a wonderful time to dream about how you can manifest your calling. Pisces and Virgo are both associated with your calling, your service in the world. So this is a time to really think about like, why am I here? I'm a soul. I'm a spiritual being having a human experience. So what is my human experience and how does that relate to my spiritual experience? It's really maybe a good time to start pondering those questions even more. Our first lunation of the year is a Cancer full moon. Is that right? I have to go back. Seems like we would have had one before that. So our first full moon is in Cancer. Yeah, I would think we'd have one before a new moon somewhere in there. Okay, anyway, we have a full moon in Cancer on the 24th. So that also brings up a lot of emotion and that these larger than life kind of feelings. So it's a lot of emotion, very full month emotionally. And the 21st, the sun conjuncts Pluto, which is Pluto is power and the sun is how you radiate in the world. So this month is very much about beginnings. Like how do I plant, not resolutions, not like, okay, this year I'm going to do more of this. This is more like, how do I really make a difference in my life? How do I put myself first in the world in a way that's also benefiting the greater good? How do I use my imagination to make myself more of a presence and co-create the world that I want to live in? So one thing to know about this month is there are a lot of ideas, there's a lot of energy, but it's not necessarily a lot of, like, you may not have all the energy, or you just may not want to because you're focused on those Cancerian things like home and family. And I want you to allow yourself not to jump out of the gate. This whole year, it's a 9 universal year. So there's this sense of like, there's a lot of letting go. There's a lot of tuning in. There's a lot of like connecting with your inner world. So the whole year is about asserting yourself, being direct, but without pushing yourself too much, pushing past your boundaries, pushing past what you thought is possible, but don't tax your adrenals. Focus on how you can be a bigger presence by having more confidence, having more esteem, having bigger dreams, but not working harder. This is a seed planting month. It's a wonderful month to really find what lights you up inside. February is an 11 universal month because we add the 2 to the 9 of the universal year. It's a 9 universal year. We add the 2 of February to that. It's 11. That's a master number. It's a number of deep intuition, inspiration, divine downloads. It's also a very high octane month because anytime you have the 11th, it's like you're buzzing with energy. You're buzzing with inspiration. These divine downloads are a high vibration, so you need to move that energy through you. So you may actually need a little bit more exercise in February. All that being at home in January, maybe you do want to join the gym this month or take up running or do something. And it's also a time to center yourself because one of the teachers of February, the 2, is the High Priestess. So we have justice. We may actually see some big legal cases in the news or come up because of justice. There's also a time of balance. You're balancing your needs, other people's needs. You're balancing work with rest and recreation. It's a time of balance and centering yourself so you can tune into your intuition. Our sun is in Aquarius, which is in that sign of inspiration, innovation, divine downloads, visions for your future. Another North Node is solidly in Pisces, which is about your purpose. So this is also a good time to think about your higher purpose. What is it that you want to do differently? We have this incredibly beautiful energy of Venus in Pisces in harmony with Neptune. This is a very soulmate energy. So this combined with the 2 of the universal month is very much about deepening your relationships in a very soulful way, very romantic. A wonderful time to really live in your heart as opposed to your mind. Live in your soul. On February 4th, Venus enters Aries, which isn't a detriment, actually. Venus is getting ready to go retrograde. So what Venus is going to go through in Aries, pay attention to what's coming up for you in relationships, because with that 11 as well, and with Venus in Aries, that sign of the self, that sign of like, this is what I really want. So it could be a time when you're really aggressively starting to go for your dreams and aggressively like going after your passions. It can also be a time when, especially with that 11, that polarity between two individuals, where power dynamics come up in your relationships. If you're overgiving, if someone else is being selfish, anything like that, this is going to start to come up, and pay attention to what comes up here because Mars is retrograde now. And as soon as Mars goes direct, Venus goes direct. So the lovers of the zodiac start out in these ways where they're like, hey, I need to pay attention to what's good for me. That's what the lovers of the zodiac are doing in the first few months of the year. So it's really about paying attention, which makes sense because we have a lot of Aries this year. So what Venus is going through this month, pay attention because that's what's going to happen when she goes retrograde. It's going to pass over this part of the sky again, and these lessons are going to come up for you. Pay attention. This is all about learning how to be direct, learning how to stand up for yourself, learning how to pay attention to your needs. So these are some of the power dynamics that can come up this month. But it is more of a time to, even though it's about balance, it is a fairly good time to keep planting those seeds, keep going for your vision of the new things that you want to do. Jupiter goes direct in Gemini on February 4th as well. Jupiter going direct because Jupiter is an abundant planet. It's all about expansion and abundance. And when Jupiter's direct, it feels more like an inside job. And when Jupiter goes direct, there's a lot of drive here. So you have that air sign, right? You have the Jupiter direct in Gemini, which is about communication. It's an air sign. And then you have Venus in a fire sign. So there could be a lot of passion, really good communication, also some hot tempers though. So just be mindful that your words don't get out of hand and that you're not using your words to cut down anyone. Just be very mindful to use your words very direct, very lovingly. Mars is still retrograde now, and you're really reevaluating your relationships and your values. That's what Venus is about as well. And because the High Priestess is here, you're receiving insight through your emotions. Pay attention to your emotions. Mercury on February 9th is in a kazemi with the sun. A kazemi is when a planet is going right into the heart of the sun. It's conjunct and the sun shines light on it. It's like a blessing. You receive so many insights. And because that's Mercury, the planet of communication, and the throne of the sun, it's incredible. If you want to do any writing at this time, if you want to do anything communication, this is an incredible month to do it. 11 and 2 are always numbers associated with writing as well, teaching, inspiring others, using your voice. This is such a good month for that. On the 18th, the sun goes into Pisces, so we have more of this energy of dreams and intuition, but also delusions. Everything's got a light and a shadow. So I'm trying to help you like make the most of this. In the world, there could be a lot of anger and a lot of war of the words and boy, a lot of delusions. So that's going to be happening in the world while you are taking this energy and focusing on your dreams and focusing on how you can clarify your communication, how you can bring more balance back into your relationship so you can put your needs first. If you find yourself that you are overgiving, it's really going to come to light right now. And you may have some anger or resentment about that. It's time to clear the air. Thankfully, Mars stations direct on February 23rd. It's still not that comfortable in Cancer, but you're going to have so much more of your drive back, so much more physical energy. And Cancer is sometimes associated with the Chariot. So there is a lot of movement again and physical vitality. And it really, this is when you'll feel a lot more forward momentum. Mars is going to be in Cancer again. It's not that comfortable here, but you can be comfortable here. You can use the Mars energy for how do you want to strengthen bonds with loved ones? How do you want to protect those you love? How do you want to protect what's near and dear to you? What are you wanting to fight for? Now, of course, Mars in Cancer, Cancer being like the homeland, we will see a lot of strife about homeland and xenophobia and all the things that we've come to expect on planet Earth these days. Mars is going to be in Cancer till mid-April. So there's going to be that going on again in the background. And you can focus this energy on how you want to fiercely create loving bonds, find your soul family, nurture your relationships, create a home that feels inspiring and beautiful for you. And that's where you can put your energy. So again, you'll feel motivated, inspired, especially the first part of the month. You may not get as much done as you'd like, Don't beat up on yourself. This is all part of the plan. This is a whole year that's very much about internal energy. And so a lot of it is checking back in with yourself to make sure that you're on the right track for your soul's evolution. This is one of these months, March, when you really, really, really want to pay attention here. This is going to be the most dramatic month of the year, it seems, based on the celestial weather. I have some caution tape around this month for plans in my life. After I explain to you what's happening in this month, you too may want to not make too many plans, to not overdo it, to make sure that you have lots of space in your calendar for unexpected events, for big changes. If you are planning a vacation, I would recommend also being very flexible. And if you do have a vacation planned, if it's a spiritual retreat, that's far better than like a sightseeing thing where you're like booking a lot of things and trying to do a lot. This is a month of spiritual retreat and reflection, and that's how you're going to make the most of it. So let's go through what is going to be transpiring in March. It is a whirlwind. And there will maybe very much be actual storms, tropical storms, different kind of storms. So just pay attention to that. And let's go through it. So it's a whirlwind month. So the things we have going on, we have eclipses, and eclipses always bring the drama, unexpected events, lots of changes. We have sign changes and we have personal planets retrograde. So here we go. First of all, let's look at the tarot cards. March 2025 is a 12 universal month, which reduces to the number 3. We get that by adding the 3 of March to the 9 of the year, and that equals 12, which reduces to 3. 1 plus 2 is 3. The 12 in the tarot is the Hanged Man or surrender card. This is when life throws unexpected events at you and you just have to surrender. You can't push through a tide of change. The tides are changing. The tides are pulling you in different directions, and you have to release and let go and say, okay, it's not my will. It's the divine will. That's, I can't push through this, just so you know. However, the 3 is the Empress, which is all about fertility, joy, creativity, socializing, expressing your feelings, fertile, beautiful, creative, joyful, social energy. And that is how you want to utilize this month. For instance, like the times in my life when I've been in like power outages or blackouts or storms, and you're at home, maybe you have some friends over, you're lighting candles, you're eating like leftovers or whatever, and you can play games by candlelight. It could be a very beautiful time. It could be kind of magical if you are playing the energy right. But if you're like, oh, it's a blackout, it's a storm, I'm going to go surfing in a tornado, like that's not a good idea. And there are actually people who do things like this, and I don't understand it. But anyway, listen to the forecasters, right? Utilize the energy, know what to expect, and it can be a very, very beautiful, magical, spiritual time. But just don't make too many plans. Okay, so let's go through it. Pisces is Pisces and Aries. Oh yeah. So this is a month where we have planets at 29 degrees Pisces and 0 degrees Aries. 29 degree Pisces, you'll hear me talk about this over and over again because we have this so much this year. planets at 29 degrees Pisces, the last degrees of the last sign of the entire zodiac wheel, the karmic culmination. And last time we had Neptune and Saturn, especially Neptune at 29 degrees Pisces, we had those awful hurricanes in Florida and North Carolina and all that. So that was what happened at this like 29 degrees of Pisces, the planet of mutable water and this karmic degree. Also floodgates of emotion. Okay. So just so you know, and then 0 degrees Aries, which is a totally different energy. This is death and then birth, both very dramatic. Birth is beautiful, but not always easy. So that's the energy happening this month, this year, death and birth. Birth is not easy. It's beautiful. It's a miracle, but not easy. So this is a month of karmic culmination. Remember we're talking about Mars started out retrograde, and then as soon as it goes direct, here we have Venus retrograde. And we told you to look at what was coming up last month, Venus in Aries, what kind of things were coming up about your values, how you want to make yourself a priority, a number one priority. So that those lessons are going to come around again as Venus retrogrades back into those areas of your chart and in the sky. Venus in Aries is in its detriment. There are certain things to do and not do when Venus is retrograde. Venus is about money, values, beauty. And because Venus is retrograde, it's like you don't always feel or know clearly the value of things. Or you're not always seeing things as they really are. Like, for instance, let's say you're looking to buy or rent a home and it's Venus retrograde and you think, oh, I don't really mind that. That doesn't bother me that much. And then you get that lease or whatever, you move in. And then while you're there, you're like, that bothers me a lot and I cannot stop looking at it. That kind of thing happens during Venus retrograde. The other kind of thing that happens during Venus retrograde, let's say you're buying something you think you really need and it's expensive. And then you're like, did I really need this? Could I have gotten something less expensive that would have been just as valuable? Or maybe you're selling something and you don't realize how valuable it is. Or in terms of beauty, not recommended to get cosmetic procedures because Venus is retrograde. It's just not a good idea. They recommend not having, really, astrologers recommend not getting married during Venus retrograde. Look, I am under the feeling like weddings are planned a long time in advance. And so if you have a wedding planned, well, just so you know, eclipses are going to be dramatic, but you know, maybe you'll focus on like, oh, those weren't the flowers I wanted, or this dress is like that. Those are not important. The most important thing during a wedding is that you love that person. And I'm sure by the time when you planned the wedding, you knew you loved that person. So it's just not recommended because of, you know, things may, in terms of beauty, like you can obsess over things or things like that. But if you have a wedding plan, go ahead. Have your wedding, but just know there may be people who don't get there because also we're having a total lunar eclipse and Mercury's retrograde. Venus, Mercury retrograde, total lunar eclipse. On March 14th, we have our first eclipse of the year. It is a total lunar eclipse. It's in Virgo. This begins eclipse season. Eclipses always bring karmic endings. A total lunar eclipse will bring karmic, fateful endings of chapters in your life to make room for new beginnings. Virgo is associated with health, service, work, discernment, digestion, food, all the things, all the Virgo things, right? So Anything related to that is most likely going to come up. So it could be work related, could be employee related, could be coworker related, could be really eclipses bring up everything, but those are the areas that it can focus on. And then we go right into Mercury retrograde in Aries. Okay. Mercury, your mind going back into Aries. So Venus is retrograde in Aries. Mercury's retrograde in Aries. The other thing about Virgo, I want to say, this may come up in the eclipses too. Virgo is associated with autonomy. Virgo, the virgin, has nothing to do with being a virgin and has everything to do with a woman who is not owned or controlled by anyone else, the goddess. So Virgo teaches you where you can have autonomy of your own being. And with these retrogrades in Aries, you may see a lot of that come up. Whether you're, you know, whatever your gender identity, this is relative to everyone. Mercury retrograde in Aries, you're rethinking how you see yourself as an independent person. So all these issues of independence, autonomy, drive, motivation, how you want to make your mark in the world, that's an Aries thing as well. These are coming up this month. Let's go over some Mercury retrograde do's and don'ts as well. They're not do's and don'ts. They're guidelines. I mean, you could do anything you want. Again, this is the weather. There's a lot of superstition around Mercury retrograde. Like, you shouldn't get something repaired. You shouldn't have a surgery. Let me tell you something. Sometimes the Mercury retrograde is the best time to do that because it's a time for redoing everything and something is going to break. It's just, especially with Venus retrograde, you don't want to like rush into buying the most expensive thing. You want to like take some care with things. If you're going to get surgery, you need something repaired, find the best person. Just don't go freak out and rush somewhere. That is the lesson of Mercury retrograde. You really want to think things through. You don't want to push yourself. You don't want to force things. You don't really want to sign a contract this time with the Venus and the Mercury retrograde and the eclipses. I mean, so many surprises are going to happen. I mean, so many surprises. March is like, there's just so much happening and it's so intense and it's so many unexpected surprises. And here we go. We're not even halfway through the month. Okay. March 19th, the sun conjuncts Neptune. At 29 degrees Pisces. We've talked about this 29 degrees Pisces. I hope you know it by now. Conjunct the sun. What is going to happen? What kind of revelations are going to happen of delusions? Okay, so eclipses are all about waking up to things that you just like were in the background and your intuition's been trying to tell you, but you just weren't paying attention. The sun bringing the light of your consciousness while Mercury's retrograde. 29 degrees Pisces, you are going to be waking up to things like delusions. This is going to happen in the world. We're going to be like, what? Shocking events. Like, I mean, how much can we be shocked anymore? But still, and in your life, like things that you were like, oh my gosh, my intuition was trying to tell me. And now you're the sun bringing consciousness to it. Finishing up 29 degrees Pisces, you're culminating a karmic cycle. There can and will be storms and floods, either literal storms and floods, emotional, or both. And then we're not done with the month yet. March 29th, a total solar eclipse in Aries. Total lunar eclipse, total solar eclipse. And this is the last eclipse in Aries of an 18-month cycle. Again, more Aries, where you're waking up to areas where you're like, whoa, I really need to put myself first. I really need to make myself a priority. And this is the last one in this 18-month series of eclipses, Libra, Aries eclipses. So this is a culmination of those lessons. Do you see what's happening in March? There may be a lot of anger. There's definitely going to be a lot of unexpected surprises. There's going to be a whole lot of life where it's teaching you like, hey, wake up. You have not been putting yourself first in this area. You need to put yourself first in this area. And then you're going to have all the people in the world with all these like delusions and like anger and fire and water and flood. I have to laugh. It's just a lot. It's a lot. and the retrogrades. So all the retrogrades is all about getting you to rethink things, reevaluate things, reevaluate yourself, reevaluate your self-esteem. So whatever comes up for, you know what? It could be a totally relaxing month for you. Like I said, it could be like having candles, a candlelight dinner with your friends during a blackout. It's what you make of it. So here's how to make the most of it, right? Proactively look into your, look, the whole month before was about reevaluating your relationships. February, that was a lot of why that was happening. Like, am I treating myself fairly? Am I giving more than I'm receiving? Am I putting myself first? Am I overgiving? So that by the time you get to March, these won't have to take you by surprise. You can be like, hey, I'm in a very fair and balanced relationship with all the people in my life. And I'm going to take this time to nourish myself and have like a spiritual retreat. You can have an amazing month. It's just how you play it, okay? But I'm telling you what the celestial weather is so you can play it that way. Definitely clear as much space on your calendar as you can. It's not really time for starting things. Of course, I'm going to be having something. I'm most likely going to have some healing, online healing for you in March because it's a wonderful time for healing. It's a wonderful time for therapy. It's a wonderful time for spiritual stuff. So that's like the way to manage the energy. We're not done with them. So one more thing. The 14th through the 29th, eclipses always come in pairs, 2 weeks apart. So the 14th and the 29th, the time in between that is known as eclipse season. So we're going to have also Venus and Mercury retrograde during eclipse season, especially that 14th through the 29th. That is especially where you want to be like, I'm just going to take that time for spiritual retreat or healing or leave it very open. The 30th is when Neptune goes into 0 degrees Aries, a whole different energy, starting the whole new trip around the zodiac wheel. Okay, shake it off. I know that was a lot. Look, I want you to know what's coming. I'll tell you something else. I've been doing these forecasts for over a decade. Every single time I see those like really intense periods, which tend to come around eclipses, they're always, it's accurate. So I want you to know about it. Okay, April. April is a 13, which reduces to 4 universal month. Again, 4 plus 9, the 9 universal year is 13. In the tarot and numerology, so the tarot 13 is the death card. This is not a physical death, okay? This is the weeding of your spiritual garden. This is about rebirth as well. Letting go of what is not nourishing you. So after all those revelations, and you will have revelations in March, I can guarantee it. After all those revelations, what are you going to let go of? Or what's going to be let go of without you even wanting it? Something's going to give. Something is going to be let go of after those eclipses. And this 4 universal month, it's amazing how the tarot and numerology and the astrology all correlate. So the 4 is the Emperor, which is ruled by Mars. It's associated with Aries. And we happen to be in Aries season now. The 4 is about squaring your corners. So you're building new foundations. After things are torn down, after you let go of things, what are you going to build? But build with more authority. Again, Aries, energy you'll feel all year. How are you going to build new foundations based on new authority where you are the master of your life? You are the master of your domain. You are calling the shots. You are claiming your leadership and authority. That's a lot of what this month is about. After storms, like the cosmic celestial storm March, it's a time of rebuilding. After the hurricane destroys things and sweeps things away, people get together and they rebuild. And there's a sense of like, okay, now anything's possible though. We can build anything at this point. Let's rebuild things better than before. That's what April is about. On the 7th, Mercury stations direct. But you start out with Mercury retrograde and Venus is still retrograde. So Mercury and Venus are still retrograde the first week of the month. So your heart and mind are still in review mode. Like, what does my mind want? That's Mercury. What does my heart want? That's Venus. April 7th, Mercury stations direct. Go ahead and sign that contract. However, remember that you are in the shadow, post-shadow phase, meaning once a planet stations direct, you are integrating the spiritual lessons that that was teaching you. Venus stations direct on the 12th, and it conjuncts Saturn right away. So this is like Saturn is the planet of stability and seriousness. So after you've reevaluated your self-worth, what is in your heart? Now you're like, okay, I'm going to get serious about this. Maybe I'm going to commit to a relationship, or if a relationship isn't going to commit to me, it's time to let go of that relationship. Maybe I'm going to commit to my dreams. I'm going to commit to taking the steps to making my heart's desires fulfilled. That's what this is about. It's really about moving. There's a lot of movement now that all this dust is settled. It's like, okay, let's get to work and rebuild our life and dreams in a way that's meaningful. That day that Venus stations direct, Venus is the ruler of Libra, and we have a full moon in Libra. So the full moon in Libra, you have the sun in Aries opposing the moon in Libra. So there's also that tension between your needs, Aries, and relationships. And now you're coming at your relationships or all the things that are meaningful in your life with a sense of power. This is a time to let go of overgiving, being always too nice at your own expense, that kind of thing. And it's square Mars, which is making sure that you're really like taking this seriously and putting some force behind your power, right? Like you're taking back your power here. And on the 17th, remember we started this year with this Mars-Pluto opposition? This is the final one. Started November 3rd, right before the United States election. We had another one right at the top of January. And here's this final Mars-Pluto opposition. It can be very combustive, very tense. I would be very mindful not to get into arguments around this time. It could be very violent energy. Do not like road rage things, right? Just be very cool. Okay. Just keep that, put some space around that. Breathe. A lot of relationship tension around this time. Like that could be a good thing. You can be integrating. It could be passion. Mars Pluto is a lot of passion. So there's just a lot of passion, a lot of fires, a lot of combustible energy that could be fantastic. You're clearing the air and there's forward motion now. April 19th, the sun is in Taurus. Hallelujah. That is a grounding energy. Taurus is stabilizing. It is grounding. You combine that with the 4, which is all about material things. This is really a time to actively build your dreams in the physical material world. Maybe it's even real estate. Maybe you buy a home now that Mercury and Venus station direct because you've been looking. Maybe during the retrogrades, you've been looking, reevaluating. What do I really want? What do I really want? That's a wonderful thing to do during Mercury, Venus retrograde. Like, what kind of block do I want to live on? What home do I want? What kind of light do I want? And now you're like, I'm going to purchase that home, or I'm going to rent that home, or whatever that is. You're staking that claim. You're like saying, this is going to happen. You're planting your flag, whatever that means. You're squaring your corners financially. You're getting your physical, material, financial act together. That is really good to do this month. But these months before that were really good time to like evaluate, like, what's a good plan of action? April 27th, we have a super new moon in Taurus. I love that. So the moon's very close to Earth. And Taurus is all about, new moons are always a time of planting seeds for beginning. It's a clearing. It's like, okay, new dreams, new hopes, new beginnings. And Taurus is all about what you value, who you value. Mars and Pluto are still in their little square, but they're not like exact, but they're still in that tense mode. So again, this is a time when if you are not being true to yourself, the universe is going to be like, okay, we're going to give you tense relationships so that you have to fight for your values and remember how important you are and be appreciated. But if you're doing that yourself, if you're proactively doing that, then this is a really good time to like really like solidify the things that are important to you in your life. This is a month where growth emerges from tension. And it's very powerful. It's a really, really good month to do physical, material things of value to build for your future. May. Ah. Oh, I just love being in Taurus season. We love the Venus. Even the cards, it's like, ah. May. It's still some drama because it's a 14 month, which reduces to 5. And 5 is about drama, but it could be fun. It could be like you're going to plays or seeing musicals or just like having fun, exciting travel. This is more of a good month to travel, actually. This is a month to experiment with art and culture and explore your horizons, experiment with new things. The Temperance card is all about finding balance between extremes. So it could be dramatic, but in a way that's fun. And experimentation is really good, and exploration and mixing things up and seeing what happens. And the Hierophant card is all about learning and teaching and exploring and higher purpose. So we're in Taurus season for the first 3 weeks, very grounding and centering. Really take this month. If you want to plan a vacation, if you want to do something fun, if you want to go on a romantic something or other, a fine romance, this is a nice time for it. Nurture your dreams. Here's a time when Saturn, the Lord of Karma, is in its final degrees of Pisces until May 24th. So I told you there may be some water things happening. You will still have spiritual lessons, like big time, because the Lord of Karma is in its final degrees of the end of the karmic cycle here. But these don't need to be difficult lessons. It could be a time of like, maybe your lessons are about needing to dream bigger or dream more or to have more fun. How you manage your time. It's about dissolving of boundaries when these final degrees of Saturn and Pisces are happening. You're creating new structures in your life. You're creating new foundations in your life. And that's what this time is about. It's also a good time to focus on mental health or maybe expanding your consciousness with some spiritual retreat or plant medicines or whatever you desire. May 12th, we have a full moon in Scorpio, which is very sensual, sexual. The Scorpio and the Taurus, very tactile, very sensual. We're in a 5 month, which is about exploring your 5 senses. This is a month about exploring the physical joys of life. That is what Taurus teaches you. Again, I really do love the energy this month. Again, there will be drama in the world. There's always drama. And of course, you know, we can have drama in our life. This is something that will help you broaden your horizons and hopefully have some fun and remember to center yourself and focus on the bounty and beauty of your life, the universe, the world, the people around you, and make new connections. May 24th, Saturn enters 0 degrees of Aries. Again, it's not very comfortable in Aries, but this is a time when you are building new structures, building new foundations, building new routines. You're going to have a new set of lessons around standing up for yourself, being a leader, and finding your fire again. There may be things that happen in the world because Aries is about freedom and personal dynamism. Saturn restricts, so there may be some things where there will be personal freedoms restricted, and that may be coming up in the world. So just be aware of that. Saturn and Neptune are now going to be traveling together in Aries and their new signs, dissolving boundaries together through August. And Saturn's going to be in Aries through April of 2028. And on May 29th, we have another Mercury Kazemi now in Gemini. So finding new ways to express yourself in the world. Mercury is also about transportation. So you may find different fun explorations, fun trips. Gemini is more associated with local trips and finding things in your community. Maybe you get involved in community more, or five is also a number associated with media. So maybe you want to write or teach or do a podcast or do something like that or learn something. Fabulous month for all of that. June, joyful June. Don't be afraid of the card that you see, the tarot teacher there, the 15 card, which is known as the devil card. Notice it's a mirror image of the lover's card, only in a maybe fearful form. Because the six is all about choices. You can choose love or you can choose fear. And that is an expression that is so overused. Let me explain it in terms of the tarot. The tarot lovers is all about choice. In the original tarot, there was a man, a young man, with his mom on one side of him and his lover on the other side of him. And there's Archangel Raphael, the healing angel, above them. What that was about was you can choose what you've always been taught to do, what's been expected of you, or you can choose from your heart. And that is what the six always teaches you. And because this is a 6 month associated with the lovers, it can be a time for love, romance. The six is also associated with pregnancy, pets, plants, domestic bliss, all the things of beauty, which is amazing because this is the month that Jupiter goes into Cancer, which is the sign associated with that. So this month is all about finding your heart, making choices based on your heart rather than everything you've been taught you need to do. This is a month of finding balance. And if you looked at the previous months, you'll see, you know, I may need a little balance right now. I may need a little bit more harmony. I may need a little bit more romance. The key to this month is to choose from your heart, not other people's expectation, not perfectionism, to choose from your heart. Love is in the air this month. This, in my way, is maybe my favorite month of this year because it's just nice. It's so much of a blessing to have Jupiter in Cancer, which goes into Cancer on June 9th. It's exalted there. Going to bring so much more emphasis on home, love, family, just what's important. I think because of all the craziness that's bound to be happening in the world, that it really brings us back to what's important. People, love, right here in the space of your home. That's what's important. Also a good month for, like I said, romance. And Jupiter and Venus are both in their domicile or exaltation now. It's like really nice for the heart. And don't you love that? I mean, again, now would be a good time for traveling, romance, or just actually staying at home and having a staycation. This is a good month for a staycation. enjoy like the beauty and bounty all around your immediate environment. Home, love, family, emotional bonds, security, those are the themes of this month. Jupiter had been in detriment for a year, and now it moves into a sign of domicile or exaltation, and it is just delightful. And then on June 15th, so Jupiter's the planet of expansion and optimism and ideals, and anything can happen. And it also changes your philosophy and what you know is important to you and your beliefs. Right after it goes into Cancer, it squares Saturn, which is the planet of like, let's get real here. So there's this sense of, okay, this is what I love. This is what I want to do. And this is what's possible. This is how I'm going to make this idea an ideal, a reality. And this kind of square tension lasts through August. And it's nice because I think some people are like, oh, it tampers Jupiter's like buoyancy. I'm like, no, it just helps you build your dreams. I mean, it's both. It's all the things. And it's a nice grounding energy as well. And also that might help you rein in some money as well, because let's say you're like, oh, I have to spend to be happy and more, more, more. But Saturn's like, no, you can just focus on what's really important. June 20th, the solstice, and our sun moves into Cancer, joining joyful Jupiter there. And then on the 24th, Jupiter is in a Kazemi with Cancer in this degree that is the most like beautiful for Jupiter to be meeting up with the sun. This is a time to shine light on. It's like a spiritual energy where you're like, wow, sometimes the universe is amazing. And what do I want? And like the big picture of things and shining light on what's possible, shining light on all the beauty of being in a body with your loved ones. And it's delightful. It's a good month for marriage, romance, pregnancy, pets, real estate, all the things. It is one of the best months of the year. Again, you know, if some crazy stuff happens in the world, because we got the devil card, you're going to have a devil may care attitude about like, look, the world is going to be the world, and yet I can still focus on what's important to me. Have a devil may care attitude and a sense of humor. Congratulations, you just made it through the first half of the year. So we are in July now, which is in numerology a 16 universal month, and 16 is a karmic number. There's a lot of karmic lessons this year. Did you notice that? Karmic numbers in zodiac, karmic numbered numerology. So here we are in a 16 universal month. That is the Tower card. And the Tower is associated with, you notice the lightning at the top of the card that's blowing off the crown, and people are like, yeah, what's going on? So that lightning is sudden revelations, sudden insights, sudden unexpected revelations, and very similar to an eclipse, only maybe even more dramatic and quicker. It can also be something in our political sphere or geopolitical, because it's associated with like the crown coming off and like falling from a high place. So there may be revelations about people in power or things in the world in general that are just like shocking. Okay. And sudden shocking changes in your life. This can mean sudden truths that are coming to light, or divine inspiration, or ideas that are coming to you that like blow your top off and like, wow, this is a whole new frontier for me. This is like something that opens up my whole world. This is mind-blowing. Whatever it is, it's going to be mind-blowing. Whatever the revelations are, it's a mind-blowing month. Whatever that means. It's a month of focusing on truth, and it could be soul searching, because seven is always associated with soul searching, asking big questions. It could be a time for spiritual truth or spiritual retreats. The seven is associated with taking time away from the material world to focus on quiet and contemplation and really tuning into your soul. I think because Uranus, this is the thing. I just find how the numerology and the tarot and astrology work together so symbiotically is mind-blowing. It is mind-blowing. See, it's already mind-blowing month because this is when Uranus, the planet of sudden shocks, revelations, insight, changes signs. So you can expect something big to happen in terms of information, because it's going into Gemini, which has to do with information. It's going to be there for 7 years, give or take retrogrades. And this is a month of shocking surprises in the world that will be communicated, or, and possibly, mind-blowing advancements in communication. This would be the month where everyone's having flying cars. So maybe that's where our minds are blown. I will say that the United States is going to be in its Uranus return, where Uranus is coming back to where it was in the sign when we signed the Declaration of Independence, which means we will definitely be having some shocking revelations here in the United States, which, as we know, affects the rest of the world. You can guarantee it. But I mean, honestly, did you need an astrologer to tell you that? We're just living through unprecedented times. So there's going to be some upheaval. There will definitely be a lot of freedom fighter. Uranus is a sign associated with freedom. So there's going to be a lot of maybe protests and upheaval and in the world, that kind of thing. Uranus was actually in its fall in Taurus right before. So remember, we keep talking about the ends of a sign. There may be some earthquakes. So this is about like everything like physical, metaphorical earthquakes. Again, this doesn't have to affect you personally in the way you're like, oh my God, my life is ending. Just know in the world, this will be a time of shocking quakes. In your life, this can be, again, like a mind-blowing experience happens to you. Or maybe you want to go on a retreat where you're expanding your mind and opening yourself up to possibilities. This is a wonderful time to actually take a spiritual retreat. So just know that something will be revealed and that Mercury now goes retrograde again. I swear it, doesn't it feel like Mercury was just retrograde? Well, here we go again. Mercury is retrograde in Leo starting July 18th. So again, things can come up that we thought we were done with. And Mercury's here to say, hey, you need to look at this again. You need to rethink this. Leo is a sign associated with expressing yourself from the heart. And maybe some of these revelations will be like, look, you've been hiding yourself. You've been keeping yourself from the world. And now it's time to express yourself in a bolder way. And something in life made you realize that maybe you were being unappreciated. Maybe you're not feeling appreciated enough and you need to express, hey, I'm important. This matters to me. There'll be some kind of revelation in your life that's going to help you express yourself more fully and from the heart. And then in July 22nd, we move into Leo season and some drama may ensue, but it may be delightful drama. It could be. Could be a really lovely month. How I would take this month would be making sure that you're taking time to yourself to process your feelings. It's going to be a lot of energy. Even if you're like, okay, the world is just doing the world thing and I'm having fun over here, you're still like needing to take some time to yourself. It could be a lot of fun. There's a lot of like I said, it's dramatic. So it could be like fun drama, a lot of people, but you really need to take time to yourself. August, Leo season. I'm like doing jazzy show hands here. This is really, enjoy August, okay? Because September is going to be a little bit eclipse season-y. Look at these cards. The Star card and the Strength card. Again, how does the tarot and numerology synchronize so beautifully with our astrology? Because the Strength card is associated with Leo. And the Star is all about being a star, letting yourself shine. This is about being bigger. Mercury is still retrograde in Leo until August 11th, and it's teaching you to take up more space in the world, to allow yourself to be big and dream bold and let yourself be seen and shine more brightly. And 8 really helps you connect to your passion. So this can really be a summer of love or a winter of love if you live in Australia or down under. And this is a time to really express from your heart. It could be a lot of passion, could be a lot of drama, again, like a lot of big emotions. The 8s make everything larger than life. And Leo is very solar. And even if you are in winter season, again, if you're in another continent, there's still the energy, the archetype of everything being like expanded. And that's what the 8 energy does as well. This is an expansive month. This is time to really live from your heart. I love the energy of this to like take a nice vacation, let yourself shine, let yourself bask in the glory of all you've done and accomplished, and let yourself be appreciated. There are a lot of lessons here around self-worth and creativity and fun. It's a time to really reconnect with your passions, to express yourself fully. You know how they talk about, like, I'm saying this with my full chest. That is what this month is about. Live and say things with your full chest. Speak from your heart. Live your passions. Allow yourself to be appreciated. Now, if you are not allowing yourself to be appreciated, the 8 is about power dynamics. The Leo is about power dynamics. If you feel you are unappreciated, you are not valuing yourself somehow. You are not expressing yourself truly. So let the world teach you whether you are living your self-worth, whether you are living creatively or just from your mind, if you're living with your passions or just from your thoughts. This is what this month is about, is to help you get in touch with your passions, put yourself first. There's a lot of that, putting yourself first. Okay, now again, we have Mercury retrograde, so there's going to be this. Okay, so this Leo's like, I want to spend a lot of money. I want to do a lot of things. You got to be careful, though. Because Mercury's retrograde until August 11th. So you don't want to be like, okay, I'm just going to do it. You really want to, especially until August 11th, be mindful. Don't just be like, yes, let's just spend a lot of money. Don't do that. Or maybe wait till August 12th to do that. Everything's going to be about lessons around worth and value, and everything's just going to feel very big. Let yourself be a star. Let yourself shine. But don't spend a lot of money that you don't have, because you're kind of going to be feeling like, ooh, I'm just in this like big energy. So like, let's do this. Definitely do that with adventures, but maybe be mindful at least until Mercury goes direct to like make some kind of big plans, big investments, please. And another really good month for romance and passion. Mercury does go direct on the 11th. And when it does, Venus is conjoining Jupiter at an exaltation degree. So again, like August 11th is after that, things just feel really like you can breathe again. You can expand. There's been just so much in so many ways, like keeping you back this year. And when you get to August, it's like, oh my gosh, I could finally do these things that I've been dreaming about and wanting to do. Great month for it. Great month for it. Don't let Mercury retrograde hold you back. And don't let Virgo, the sun in Virgo, hold you back. August 22nd. We love Virgo season, don't we? And where are my fellow Virgos at? Represent, right? Sun in Virgo, August 22nd. Grounding. You can start to like maybe be like, okay, I need to like rein things in and get like serious about my life. That's what Virgo season does. Like maybe you want to study something. Maybe you want to go on a retreat where you're learning something and educating your body, mind, and spirit. Something with your body, nourishing your body. Really, really good time for that. And remember, the nodes are in Virgo, which brings us to eclipses in Virgo here. Okay. September. September is an eclipse month, and there's a lot of drama in this, but not as much as March, but still some. Hey, I have the eclipse on my birthday, September 21st, but I was born right before an eclipse, so I'm kind of used to it. But it's a dramatic month. It's an 18, which reduces to 9, universal month, and 18 in the tarot is the moon. And here we are, some synchronicity with the numerology, tarot, and astrology, because it's eclipse season. Isn't that something else? The moon is a more emotional time. People are not thinking. They're instincting. There's a lot coming to light, like revelations. Sometimes shocking revelations, because that's what eclipse season does. And then Uranus is retrograding. Remember Uranus in that month of surprises, June, it was like went into Gemini. Now it's retrograding into Gemini. It's retrograding. It's going to go back into Taurus again in a little bit. So again, when Uranus starts to retrograde, there'll be some kind of like, ooh, shakeups. Okay. Sudden revelations. That's what Uranus does. That's what this month is about. You want to really use that Virgo energy and that hermit energy. We talked about the hermit before in the numerology and the overview. The hermit is all about looking within, but shining your light outward. Really tuning in though. Virgo season is about that anyway. About focusing on how you can be more autonomous, how you can take care of yourself and create healthy habits and nourish your body, nourish your mind. This is not a month to live like Leo season, truly. Live it up in August. And then in September, really take some space. Always in eclipse season, you want to clear space on your calendar. You don't want to like do too much because this is a month where life can happen and your plans can go in all different directions and not any that you expected. So expect the unexpected. On September 1st, Saturn goes retrograde. Saturn, the structure planet, the Lord of Karma, it's going retrograde in Pisces. Guess what? At 29 degree Pisces. Have we talked about this before? Do you remember 29 degrees of Pisces? Here we go again. To expect the unexpected. So eclipses are about finishing up karmic loose ends. Saturn going, the Lord of Karma going retrograde in Pisces, September 1st, in that last karmic degree of the last sign of the zodiac, the final degree. And it's trining Jupiter. So this is going to expand these lessons all through the rest of 2025. You're really wrapping up some unfinished business. So with eclipses can come fateful endings, but also fateful new beginnings. Okay? Chapters ending, because this is karmic closure time. This is it. You're wrapping things up. The other thing about the second half of the month is like the planets are starting to retrograde back into signs that they were in in 2024 where you're like, oh, I know this. Oh, but I have to really finish this before they go into their science in earnest in 2026, which will be a one universal year. So this is really a time you really want to take this seriously. What do I need to end? What do I need to let go of? What chapters need to close? The total lunar eclipse on the 7th connects with the north node of destiny. So it's like, well, what do I really want to do? Because this isn't working for me anymore. This doesn't nourish my soul anymore. What does? Beginnings, fateful new beginnings. This is a turning point. This month, chapters closing, new chapters being written. Remember, eclipse season is 2 weeks, the time between eclipses. So the total lunar eclipse on the 7th, and then that 2 weeks until my birthday, September 21st. Mark that on your calendar. That 2 weeks is eclipse season. And this is when really we have a lot of revelation. So be like the hermit, just like, you know, tune out the drama, tune into your soul and still be a light in the world. This is the 9th month in a 9 universal year, and it's a 9 universal month. A lot of endings, a lot of karmic closure, and there may be some grief involved and some surprises, but they could be happy surprises and happy celebrations. 9 can be culmination and harvest and celebration of all your good work. So guess what? You can get a surprise opportunity. And I hope that's what happens for you. Fortune favors the brave, and be ready for the luck to find you. October. Da-na-na-na, you finished eclipse season. Yay! Libra, balance, okay? Wheel of Fortune, you've seen this before. What goes up must come down. Like, the wheels of fate and karma are turning, and now it's time to say, okay, I let go of some things. Not just last month, but this whole year. I let go. Now what do I want to start? The Magician. Let me get my ideas from the divine, because I cleared out that psychic space and energetic space. And what does spirit want me to do? And what is lighting up my heart? Great month for entrepreneurship, putting yourself first, anything independent, but it's Libra season. So how do you find independence within reciprocal relationships? So you're going to be focused on, are my relationships reciprocal? Am I putting myself first? Are they balanced? These are the lessons this month. October 7th is an intense full moon in Aries. That polarity between Aries, so the full moon bringing to light Aries lessons. Am I putting myself first? Aries is a theme all year. It's an intense moon, by the way. Am I putting myself first? Am I overgiving? Are my relationships reciprocal? Am I being a little codependent? Am I caring more about others than they are for me? Am I having balance in work and joy? A lot about reciprocity, though. And oh my gosh, thank you. We're going to have a break from Aries planets for a while after this. Whew, boy, did we really need that. That was a lot of Aries energy. So now we can start to more enjoy like balance. This is about like going back. The planets are starting to retrograde in familiar signs here. And they're like, okay, let me go back and collect myself. Let me really get these lessons because we're headed toward the end of next year. Let me really collect myself, get my lessons, make sure I am feeling empowered and balanced and nourished and resourced. October is always a relationship month because we have the sun in Libra, which is about relationships. And then on the 22nd, the sun enters Scorpio, which is all about deepening your relationships and creating more intimacy in your life and deepening anything that's meaningful for you. But it's also a time of emotional truths coming to light. October 22nd, Neptune retrogrades in guess what degree of Pisces? Yes, here we go again. The 29th degree of Pisces. Can you see why astrologers were like, oh, wow, there's a lot going on this year. How many times can something be at the last final degree of the zodiac where we're like, oh yeah, we really need to wrap up this lesson? Remember, October 2024, Neptune in 29 degree Pisces, hurricanes, something, just keep that in mind, or the floodgates open, or you could be waking up to some delusions about like, how could I have been giving myself so much? How can I think that this was good for me? Just be kind to yourself when this happens. When you learn to like let go of delusions, which is like karma is like where we're like deluded because we've had lots and lots of lifetimes living a certain pattern. Just be kind to yourself. One of the reasons you incarnated to this planet was to learn these lessons. You're good. So there can be floods, metaphorical or literal. There can be floodgates of your heart opening for love and relationship deepening or relationships ending. Boundaries are blurring. Remember, I said there could be dissolutions of things in the world that you thought, wow, I thought that was something that was never going to go away. And let's, again, let's hope it's not a glacier causing global warming. I mean, it could be anything. Or it could be like, wow, this like evil regime just got like, there's been like some kind of like new government. Like it could be anything, okay? Boundaries blurring, delusions dissolving, structures crumbling, new structures emerging. It could be so much, so many different things. On the 25th onward, there's this grand water trine. Again, a lot of water, a lot of emotion in this month of relationships. I love an October wedding. I got married in October to someone I love very dearly. So I, not this October, I mean, we've been together for a while, a long time, but I love this month for love and romance. Let this month be about opening your heart and opening your heart to receiving in a way that's reciprocal and nourishing and delightful, where it's something where you feel very independent and strong and more of yourself. And that can be what is happening for you this month and something to focus on. Also a good month for business and partnerships and entrepreneurial things, all the things. There's so many wonderful things that can happen. November, Scorpio season. Look at all the blue in the cards. Because this is a month of deepening emotions as we're in Scorpio season. Deepening intuition, subconscious, coming into focus. It's a 20 universal month because we don't reduce the 11 of November. And then you add that to 9 of the universal year, and that's 20, which reduces to 2. Very much about deepening your awareness of what's going on in your heart. It could be many things coming to light. You see the judgment card there, which is the people rising from the grave, and there's Archangel Gabriel. It's like so dramatic. The tarot is so dramatic. Those people rising from the grave are those, what is your thought forms and what's been buried in your subconscious, and Archangel Gabriel like waking you up to things that have been in your subconscious, very much like what eclipses do. This is because it's Scorpio season, you're getting in touch with emotions that have been buried. You're getting in touch with a deeper part of yourself. It's a wonderful time for healing and romance and therapy and writing and dreaming and all subconscious, dreamy, intuitive things, psychic-y things. And it could be intense. Scorpio season is usually a bit of that. We have a retrograde brigade. So as we're going deeper into the subconscious, you see what's happening here? We have Mercury. Oh, I said Mercury twice. Well, there you go. Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Chiron. And the nodes are always retrograde, but they're in their retrograde motion. So you have all this going backwards. deepening into your inner world. So this is a month where I would not try to do too much out there. You are going to want to take more time with yourself or your loved ones, your deepest relations, your deepest partnerships. This is a time of inner work, inner reflection, inner going inside and collecting yourself. You also have another big year ahead. 2026 is not like nothing, okay? So you want to collect yourself and ask, what's going on? What do I want to bring with me? What do I not want to bring with me? It's a time of deep introspection and reassessment. We have a grand water trine between Venus, which is all about your heart, what you love, who you love, who and what you value, Jupiter, which is expanding everything, and Saturn, which is about like what foundations you have, what you want to get serious about. So there's all this water, the waters of the subconscious, the waters of your dreams, the waters of what connects us as people through compassion. And sometimes things that are hard. It's not a superficial month. I'll put it to you that way. You can take a retreat. You definitely want to journal or have a spiritual practice or a way to keep with your emotions. If you are in therapy or want to be, it's a good time to get in touch, or a spiritual practice or retreat. It's very, you see the water, it's very in. It's not a yang month. It's like very much internal dreams, connection, transmuting feelings that have been very challenging, that kind of stuff. It's Scorpio season. And November 7th, Uranus retrogrades back into Taurus. Remember it was in Taurus for a while? I think since, was that 2011? So then Taurus again is a sign, it's a fall in, and it's going to be at 29 degrees connecting with Pisces and 29 degrees Neptune. Do you remember what I said about floods, all the things? Oh, I want to say this, even though we're in this watery month, there is a lot of fire this month, this year, excuse me. I know this is the month of my forecast, but I'm like, wow, we didn't talk about that. Not just floods. Because we have so much fire, air, and we're in the wood snake, and we have all this about air and air quality and air pollution, all throughout the year, there will be fires, okay? Like, not all throughout the year, but like, it's going to be a big issue. And I live here in Oregon, the land of trees, so, you know, I'm prepared for anything. But now we're in the water zone. I just wanted to say that because I didn't say that in my other forecast, but we're almost at the end of the year. And I wanted to say, hey, by the way, throughout the year, because we have all this like air and fire and stuff and air pollution issues and air quality issues, like that's going to be a thing. Anyway, this month, tsunamis, earthquakes, water, floods, hurricane could all be possible. If not that literal, then emotional. Jupiter is retrograding in Cancer on the 11th, 11-11. The planets that were in new signs are now back in old ones because Uranus is going to be in Taurus until April of next year. And November 27th, Saturn turns direct in Pisces. So again, it's going to be passing that final degree again. 29 degrees Pisces. Here we go again. December, you made it to the last month of the year. Look, you're still here. And this is a month of joy and surrender because we're back with the Hangman and the Empress. Creativity, surrender, socializing, expressing your feelings. Remember that surrender. You may not have accomplished everything you thought you wanted by the end of the year. I'm just going to let you know that because there's so many retrogrades. There's so much crazy that by the time you get to the end of the year, you may be like, oh my gosh, I didn't do all the things I wanted yet. I really want to emphasize, and, you know, I hope you do. And because this is a year where we have so much Aries and so much determination, I hope you do. And you absolutely can. You could do more than what you ever thought was possible. And yet, if for some reason you didn't, because of life, focus on all the emotional and spiritual achievements that you did. Because, wow, what a year. I mean, you see all the things, right? This is a year. And you got through it stronger, better, wiser, more empowered, more true to yourself than you've ever been before, more autonomous than you've ever been before. You are empowered. Focus on that. We have a very, very joyful, super full moon in playful Gemini on the 4th. Delight in the holiday season. December 10th, Neptune goes direct in, guess what degree? 29 degrees Pisces. Because it keeps retrograding back and forth, right? And then it's for the last time. This is the last time. Neptune, Lord of this, again, like, I don't know what Neptune's going to bring at 29 degrees Pisces. Neptune's going to be like really making sure that we're finally, once and for all, this is the last time it's doing this ever in our lifetimes, right? So we'll never see Neptune in Pisces again in our lifetime. So Neptune's going to be like, okay, you are going to learn these karmic lessons and you're going to dream a better dream for yourself. The final time. And again, I don't know what kind of weather things it's going to bring. Maybe nothing, but it could bring a lot of blizzards or something. Just so you know. And trust in the universe, trust in the unknown, trust in your process. Focus on your power of co-creation, because that's what the 3 is about. 3 is about the divine trinity, about your power of co-creation. That's why the Empress is pregnant, because 1 plus 1 can equal 2, but sometimes a miracle happens and 1 plus 1 equals 3. How is that? Because you have the power to create. You are a co-creator. You are a powerful co-creator. You can create miracles. You can create joy. You can bring joy to the world. You can be singing that this season because it is a holiday season. You can be doing and creating and loving and being joyful and thriving in any circumstance. We have a new moon in Sagittarius on the 19th, a wonderful day for you to take some inspiration about your future. Sagittarius is the archer pointing toward the future. And by the way, I did remember January, we went, this is my Virgo mind. January, I'm like, December, January 24th, that can't be our first lunation. It's January 14th, just so you know, it's our first lunation, that full moon in Cancer. And here we are ending with the new moon in Sagittarius, where you are pointing your arrow toward the future on what you really desire. Now that you've gone through all of these revelations about what was weighing you down, keeping you from feeling free and independent and empowered, and now you know, now your dreams are deeply in your heart, inspired with the passion of Aries, nurturing, rekindling your passion, and point your arrow toward the future. What do you want? And then on December 21st, you celebrate the solstice, which is your light in the world, lighting up. Just like the hermit of the year, you are lighting up the world. Honor yourself and your beauty and all that you are and all that you've experienced. And that is the year. You know, when I was doing this year, gosh, I have been like really, this was a lot, as you imagine. So I've been like integrating and going through the year. And every year that I do this, I feel like I've experienced the year before it happened. I can see the future and I've lived it. And look at me, I am still here and I'm still smiling and I'm still with you and I still have joy in my heart. And it's going to be a year of challenges and opportunities, and you will emerge more beautiful, more buoyant, more resilient, and stronger than ever before. I am wishing you a wonderful year full of love, joy, happiness, fulfillment, meaning, and so much peace, so much joy. I love you so much. Thank you for bringing joy to my heart and filling my life with meaning. I love you so much, and I wish you a wonderful year. Lots of love. Bye for now.